Word, and I'd ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 16 with us, please. Matthew 16, and we will look at a few verses here from this chapter. And I want to preach on the thought or the topic of who Jesus is, or who is Jesus. It relates very well to the song that Brother Scott just offered. Some call him many things, but I call him Master, I call him Lord, I call him Savior, the Redeemer of man. I know him personally, and so therefore I can call him those things. And we find here in the Word of God a question posed along those lines that I want you to look at with us here this morning. In Matthew 16, beginning in verse number 13, would you care to stand with us as we read the Word of God together? I'll read it aloud and you follow along. Beginning at verse 13, when Jesus, am I in the right place?
Amen.
When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Our Heavenly Father, we have read your word. We ask that you would add your blessing to it. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry of the Word and how, Lord, it accomplishes what no other book can do in our lives, for our souls, for our faith. And Lord, we pray that this morning as we meditate upon it one more time, that you'll give us what we need to help us in the days, the hours, the minutes, the seconds ahead. For Lord, without you, we can do nothing. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to know you personally. And as we have entered into that relationship, through the blood of Jesus Christ that we sang about this morning, that has caused us to be washed, that caused us to be cleansed. Lord, we ask that you would help us to be all that we can be for you, and to have a testimony that rings true of the faith that we say we have in you. Help us to be lights in this dark world that shine for Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Two times in this passage of Scripture, Jesus asked his disciples a question that's worth considering. The question was about himself, and it was a question that merited a definition for the answer. There was no room for speculation, we're going to see here by way of the message this morning, but rather Jesus wanted a pointed definition for the answer to the question that he was asking his disciples. And the question that the Lord Jesus asked was indeed a great question. I recall years ago, this was even before my time, but I have seen the remake of it in the past, and I have heard about it. I recall a great game show that once was on the air, and it was a game show that asked questions to a contestant, and the contestant had opportunity to answer the question with the idea that an answered correct answer would be rewarded with an amount of money. Now, there are spinoffs of this original game, I believe, even now today, but the name of the game was the $64,000 question. Anybody remember that game show? The $64,000 question. And they would ask a question, and the contestant would ponder it, he would think about it, and then he would give an answer, and if it was a correct answer, he would be rewarded. There is a Jeopardy that works on the same principle. A series of questions are posed, and then the contestant with the right answer can ring in and be rewarded for the monetary value of that question in hopes of winning a large amount of money. There is the show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? That was made popular here recently, and people vie for a correct answer so that they can win and pocket a lot of money and go home better than when they came. Well, the question that Jesus asked here is quite possibly not only a great question, but the greatest question, or the single greatest question in all of life. Who Jesus is has been questioned and challenged repeatedly throughout history. There are those that say Jesus of Nazareth was nothing more than a historical figure, that he was like an Abraham Lincoln or a George Washington, that he was a famous person who lived a period of time and maybe accomplished some feat, but he was nothing more than a historical figure that we ought to respect and that we ought to remember from time to time. Some say that this Jesus of Nazareth was a religious leader in his day, that he was a great teacher, and that he could present truth in such a way that people hung on to it. But he was nothing more than that. Some say that he was a zealous martyr. Some even go so far as to say that he was an overzealous martyr, and that he eventually ended up at Calvary on a cross where he was crucified. He was one who was willing to die for a cause. Some have even stated that he was a rebel in his day and time, because he was anti-authority, anti-establishment, anti-religion, and they have all kinds of ideas about who Jesus is. But if that's all he is, any of those things or a combination of those things, then I submit to you, dear friend, that there's no reason to give him any more attention than we would any other figure in past history. He's no more than a George Washington or an Abraham Lincoln or a Ben Franklin or a Thomas Edison or whoever comes to your mind. However, if he is God's son, then everything changes. If he is who he claims to be, then we should give him our undivided attention. We should be interested in learning as much as we possibly can about him and then pledging our undying allegiance to him. It's recorded in the book of Hebrews in a couple different places that we are to consider this man, that we're to think about, remember, reflect upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're to consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. So the question that the Lord poses here is an interesting question in Matthew chapter 16. And as we examine this scripture this morning, there are some truths, I think, that relate to the question of who is Jesus. The first thing that I want to point out that I see in the text here, and that I'd encourage you to see with me, is that this is a question that is publicly argued. It is a question that is publicly argued. Jesus privately polls his disciples in verse number 13. As he enters into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, the Bible says, he asked his disciples. But notice how he posed the question first. He said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So verse 14 reveals to us that the disciples had heard the comments from the crowd, that they had heard the stir about who this Jesus was. And it seems to me that the people back in that day could not agree on who this Jesus was. In verse 14, they said unto Jesus, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist." Many people were familiar with the ministry of John the Baptist. Many people had been baptized personally by John the Baptizer. Many of them had heard his message about the coming of the Messiah and how that he was the forerunner. And so they were familiar with John the Baptist. And they thought, in their mind at least, that this man Jesus must be instead, John the Baptist. And then the disciples said, "Or some say that thou art Elias, the great prophet of the Old Testament, who was used by God in a miraculous way to fight the opposition of God and the prophets of Baal, and who was able to do miracles with the help and the power of God." They say, "This must be Elias." And then others said, "Or Jeremias, or one of the prophets." Now, in the case of that day, when those people supposed that he was one of these individuals, what they were doing was paying him a compliment. For the Jewish crowd of that day to compare him to a John the Baptist or an Elias or a Jeremiah or one of the other prophets was a kind thing for them to do. It was a mark of recognition, and they were in some way at least respecting who this man Jesus was. Many people in that day enjoyed his teaching. They were benefited by his healing. They were helped in many ways, and as a result, he inspired them by living before them a life of a servant, a life of sacrifice. And so they looked at this Jesus as someone who was like another great figure in their day and time. They looked at him like people look at heroes in our day and time. He wasn't, however, like any other hero. He wasn't like any other man. He was so much more. He stated here as he approached the disciples in his question, he said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So he stated that he knew who he was, that there was no question in his mind and in his heart who he was, but he was asking his disciples, "Who do men say that I am? What is their opinion of who I am?" And they gave them many different answers. He stated that he was the Son of God, that his character and his nature was very God, and that he was God in the flesh. And he didn't just say that he was a way while he was here on earth, but he said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." So we see here, by way of this question that Jesus poses, that it is a question that is publicly argued. Not much has changed, dear friend. The public today still argues about who Jesus is. Even though it's been some 2,000 years ago when he walked upon this earth and when he eventually went to the cross of Calvary and suffered and bled and died and was buried and rose again from the grave miraculously on the third day. Even though all that has happened, people still argue about who Jesus is. We see it by great TV personalities and their persuasion, their ability to encourage people to question who Jesus is. I'm talking about the people like Oprah who come on the scene and challenge whether or not Jesus is indeed the very Son of God, or if he was just a good man or one of many prophets, if he was the way or one of many ways to get to heaven. This is being publicly argued even in our day and time about who Jesus is. But I see also that this question is not only publicly argued, but it's plainly answered here in this text. We see here that there were those who did not know exactly who Jesus was. But if you'll notice here in the text, Jesus said in verse 15 unto his disciples, "But whom say ye that I am?" He asked, first of all, "Who do men say that I am?" And he got a multitude of answers. But then he said, "Who do you say that I am? You that are closest to me, can you answer the question any differently?" And their answer was indeed different. It was plainly stated. I believe it was stated for us by the spokesman of the group, the spokesman of the 12 at that time, the man called Peter. And Peter, you know, was always first to open his mouth, it seemed like, whether it was right, wrong, or indifferent. And here again we see him doing that. In verse 16, he answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's a plain statement, my dear friend. That's a plain announcement and a plain answer to the question that Jesus poses. He said, "I know who you are. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I think he was speaking on behalf of the others there in that small group. And their testimony was, "Indeed, we know who you are." To those who know him best, he's not just a man. He's not just someone who can, but he's the Son of the living God. Amen? He is a God sent from heaven to us. And throughout every generation, there has always been people who have agreed with Peter here that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. There are people sitting here today in this service who unashamedly and without hesitation will blurt out, just as Peter did in the text here, "We know who you are, thou art the Christ." Amen. Oh, I'm glad I got an amen there. I'm glad to know that there are people who are interested in standing up for Jesus Christ and saying, yes, we know who He is. And the testimony of His followers plainly answers who Jesus is. I'm not the way that I am presently because of anything that I have done. I'm the way that I am presently because of what Jesus has done and is doing in my life. Yes, indeed, He is the man who can. But I know He's the man that was sent from God. A man who was God's only begotten Son, the Christ. And so the testimony of His followers plainly answers who Jesus is. But notice this also. There is the testimony of His Father in this text. Look at verse number 17, the last part. Jesus said to Peter after He answered the question. He said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven. That's an important expression there. My Father which is in heaven. You see, the testimony of His Father was that He indeed was His only begotten Son. As He came to minister on the earth, God came before Him and He spoke to people about the truth and convinced them by the Holy Spirit of God that indeed this was His only begotten Son. I believe that God today still speaks personally to people and reveals the truth to them. We see that on a fairly regular basis here at Victory Baptist Church. We see people come to know and put their faith and trust personally in the Lord Jesus Christ because the Holy Spirit of God convinces them of the truth that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by Him or but through Him. It isn't just a coincidence that millions of people all over the world have accepted who Jesus is. People don't just wake up one morning and say, hey, it's about time for me to consider this Jesus and take Him at His word. No, the Holy Spirit of God goes beforehand preparing the heart, sowing the seed. Yes, it takes someone to present the gospel. Yes, it takes a preacher to proclaim the gospel. Yes, it takes a person being willing to hear. But the question is plainly answered if we're willing to listen. The truth is that Jesus Christ is who He says He is. He is God's Son, and He did do on the cross what He claimed to do, and He did raise from the grave 3 days later. He is alive forevermore. Amen. He is going to come and receive us unto Himself, that where He is, there we may be also, if we have received Him as our Lord and Savior. The question, friend, is not only publicly argued, but it's plainly answered here in our text. Amen. But there's one more truth I want you to consider this morning. I want you to consider that this question is also personally applied. It is personally applied. In verse 15, I see where it says, He saith unto them, it's like He is getting down to the nitty-gritty here, where He is getting close to them. And He says, But whom say ye that I am? Circle that word ye there in the question. Whom say ye that I am? Verse 15 indicates that there's a personal application of the question here. Jesus says it's not just a public consensus about me, but what is your personal conviction about who I am? It must be answered, dear friend, by each and every one of us. Every one of us must consider who Jesus Christ is. It's an individual question, and we should hear it as if Christ is speaking it to us alone. It's as if there is no one else in the room except ourselves and Him. And He is looking at us face to face. We are eyeball to eyeball. We're nose to nose. And Jesus says to us individually and personally, Whom do you say that I am? To you, who is He? He's interested in your definition of Him. Who do you say that He is in your heart? There are many answers that could be given, but there's only one right answer. And there's only one answer that is the important answer. It is an individual question, but friend, it is an important question. For you see, the world can and does express its opinion. The church can and does express its opinion, but only you can answer the question for yourself. Only you can determine in your heart what the correct answer is. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Has He become that to you? Is he that to you presently? You and you alone decide who Jesus is. It's not enough to rehearse what others have said about him. It's not enough to review what the past comments about him are and say, well, I kind of tend to think that. No, you have to speak for yourself about who Jesus is. And it is an important question, because if he is who he claimed to be, and who his disciples affirm him to be here in this text, and what the Word of God declares him to be, what the very God of heaven himself stated that he is, then what you think about him is very important, because your definition of him means the difference between guilt and forgiveness. Your definition of him means the difference between being a sinner and a saint. Your definition of him means the difference between being lost and saved. Friend, the bottom line is, your definition of him, the way you define Jesus personally, is the difference between heaven and hell. That's an important question that Jesus poses here in the text. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know that he was the one who could forgive me of my sins. I'm glad that I know that his blood could wash me clean. I'm glad that I know now that as a result of putting my faith and trust in him, I have a relationship with God the Father. I can talk to God through Jesus Christ, his Son. I can approach the throne room of heaven because of my standing that I have in Christ Jesus. No merit of my own, nothing that I have done. No good could I bring to the Lord Jesus Christ. None righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. And yet, because I have personally applied the question to my life and considered who Jesus is, I know that I'm on my way to heaven and I've escaped the awful place called hell. I know that I'm forgiven. I didn't say I was perfect. I didn't say that I'm all that I desire to be at the present moment. God's still working on me. I'm a work in progress, and I will be until the day that we get to heaven and we receive that glorified body. But in the process, along the experience of the Christian life, I am trying to be transformed and renewed as Christ works in me and through me. And I know that eventually I will be what he wants me to be. Glory be to God. I'll be rid of this old flesh. I'll be rid of this old sin problem. I'll be rid of all of the life's problems. I'll be free. Yes, free indeed. Because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Have you personally answered the question of who Jesus is? When you personally know who Jesus is, you have an anchor. You have a rock in troubling times. You have someone that you can go to when there is confusion in your life. When there is a need present in your life, you have someone who can meet that need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. When you know him personally, you have a Savior you can trust in every aspect of life. No matter what comes along. Diagnosis of cancer. A difficult child. A difficult marriage. A past that keeps haunting you. All of those things can be overcome when you know you have someone you can trust in every aspect of life. Praise God, I'm glad I know who Jesus is.
Amen.
Peter had a lot of problems in his Christian life, didn't he? Peter was forever getting in trouble with the Lord. But Peter did something right here in this text. He said there in verse 16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." Wouldn't you like to hear those words from the Lord? Blessed art thou. Blessed art thou, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. No one else told you this, but my Father which is in heaven. Have you answered the question personally? If not, would you consider doing that this morning? Doesn't take long, but it's an important question that deserves your attention. And it is a question that you must answer individually. No one can take the test for you, dear friend. It's up to you and you alone. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.